And good morning. Welcome back. Joined by some very special guests here on the stand, the air show announcer stand. Pee Wee Martin is a World War II veteran and a veteran of a number of paradrops, including D-Day in Normandy, and also Dale Dye, who you may recognize from that HBO series Band of Brothers. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
And have either of you been here to Oshkosh before?
No, I haven't been here before, and I'll tell you, I've known people that went, and they've described it to me, but there's absolutely nothing adequate to describe it without having been here. And I am surprised, more than surprised, I'm overwhelmed at what I see. I couldn't believe there's that many vintage airplanes and specialty airplanes left in the whole world. Yep. Yes, there are here.
Well, I think a majority of the aircraft population is here this
yeah,
way.
Yeah, it must be. I'll tell you, from a showbiz perspective, this is a spectacle.
Yes.
I mean, you know, this is $20 at the box office right here. I mean,
It is quite an event, and we're again, very pleased to have both of you with us. Pee Wee, you are still active in skydiving, correct?
Yes.
And, in fact, you jumped at Normandy last year on the 70th anniversary of D-Day.
That's correct.
So how do you attribute your longevity and your physical prowess?
Well, I've always said there are three things. I spoke at a cemetery at home a few years ago, and our county auditor asked me about that. There was a crowd of people around, and I said, well, three things. First, no tobacco.
Okay.
No alcohol. And lots of good sex.
any particular order?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And we'll move on from there.
But actually, I think what you could... Good genes have something to do with it, obviously.
Right.
But your lifestyle has a lot. Moderation in all things, that is, include eating and that sort of thing. Also, keep active in your community. Everybody goes to the gym about physical, but your mental has to be accurate all the time. And that's what I live on 38 acres of ground, and we heat with wood, and I cut all and split all the wood. So those things keep you going. I expect to be going this way until at least 100.
Well, good, good.
Because I want to see what's going to happen in this country. I think we're on a downward spiral. I think it's horrible what's happening. That's why I'm glad to see this sort of thing. This sort of thing is completely away from politics or everyday things.
Right.
And gives people a respite in their lives.
Exactly.
And in large measure, it represents the spirit of America.
Right.
I mean, that's what I love about it. I mean, look at these old airplanes and look at this old guy. This is the spirit of America. This is a tangible statement that we can get things done.
Right.
We can overcome problems. We can face anything and get it done, just as we did in World War II.
Yeah.
Thanks, FedEx. Nice chatting with you. But I mean, that's right. What makes shows like this so special, I think. You can take young men and women who really don't know about the Depression like Pee Wee does, or
right.
World War II like Pee Wee does, and you can show them this sort of thing, and it says to them that here's the spirit of America. Here's how we get things done. We do it big, and we do it right.
Exactly.
Well, that brings back exactly what he was saying. It brings back exactly what he did when he and this group of people did Band of Brothers.
Right.
They, and as I've told him many times, and other people too, people have asked me what I thought of the series. And I said it's as accurate as you're ever going to get. Nobody's ever going to make one even come near it. It's not going to be possible. And what he did in a few weeks with those guys, and I look at them, I'm not seeing actors. I'm seeing us. And they looked as good after a few weeks of training as we did in 6 months.
There you go.
There isn't any doubt about it. And so that is a part of history that the whole world has seen now.
Right.
And they're going to know exactly what we did in our training and what we did in combat. That's very important.
Yes.
And that's the importance of this kind of thing, Steve. I mean, look, we make, you know, Saving Private Ryan, Band of Brothers, the Pacific, and so on and so forth, and there's a reason behind that. It's more than just making money.
Yes.
Making money is great.
Right.
And I'm a big fan of making money. But the point is that this is an opportunity to really acquaint an audience who's clueless through some fault of their own and other times not fault right. of their own. And we can get out of the politics and get our head yes. out of the nonsense and take a look at what this country really means and who Americans are. And if you can just do that, and if you can do, listen, I'd love to have your kids sit and read a history book. It's not going to happen. So I go to the popular media. I go to television and I go to motion pictures and I say, look, you may not know this, but I'm about to entertain you and I'm about to teach you. And if you can shuffle that card, you got it made.
That's right. And that's really the reason that both of you are here. The C-47 that led the D-Day invasion was discovered at just right down the field from here at Basler Turbo
Amazingly,
Conversions.
Yeah.
Yes. So the airplane that led 800 other airplanes across the channel in the paratroop drops in D-Day. Pee-wee, you were on one of those airplanes with 13,000 yes. other troops. This massive effort that went into really retaking Europe. It was definitely a risk. I heard you talk earlier about Eisenhower agonizing over his decision to send you guys into combat. And maybe just describe a little bit about what you were thinking of as leading up to D-Day and then that very night.
Well, when we got into the marshalling area, we spent about 10 days there. There was a lot of bantering back and forth, and everybody was all fired up, and we're going to kill every damn German over there and sharpen your knives and bayonets and fooling around and having a hell of a good time. Well, it changed when we got over there. But when I crossed the channel in the plane and I looked down there and saw all those planes, and I wrote about this. It was published in a Dayton paper, a long article. I realized that the success of that operation was on our shoulders. If we didn't do our part, it was going to fail. But I was absolutely certain that we were going to do that. And we did. Now, people have asked me, weren't you afraid? And I said, I want to tell you something. We had not been in combat. We had not been exposed to anything that would tell us whether we were going to be afraid or not. I was not afraid in the sense that you usually think. There was a little bit of apprehension about what was coming, but not actual fear. It was fascination. When I looked down and saw all these heavy caliber tracer strings coming up to the ship and hitting the ships around, ships over here exploding, it really wasn't fear, it was absolute fascination. Now, when we got on the ground and got into actual combat, there's fear, and that you live with that fear. You don't get over it all day and all night. That's what they call this adrenaline rush. The problem with it is, when you have that, you either fight or flight. We had to fight. We couldn't do anything else. We never got rid of that. And if you have that fever pitch and live at that for days and days on end, it actually physically damages your organs. So that's the risk you take also. But we were only supposed to be there 3 days and then taken out. That's what the general told us. But it was tougher than they thought, and so we stayed in. You know, nobody complained about it. Today, people complain about everything. We never complained about anything. We grew up in the Depression. Nobody had a damn thing. We didn't expect anybody to give us anything. We'd work for it. So that was just life. And, you know, it wasn't any different. I had people tell me it's the first time that they had shoes all year round, because most of the time they had them for school, and then you put them away for the next year. Some of them said, we never had clothes this good, and we never had this much food. Well, I thought the food was terrible, but we raised a garden all the time. Right. Some people didn't have that. So now the nice thing, you know, war is terrible. However, the nice thing is we were thrown in with people from every corner of the country, every ethnicity that you could think of. We called each other WAPs and Dagos and all that kind of stuff. Nobody thought of anything about it. Nothing to it. we made friends with people that in ordinary times we never would even have had any association with. And despite all those differences, we were what was called diversity. Mm-hmm. Not really forced. It came naturally. You can't force diversity. It doesn't work. In the service, it was this way. We made friends. We have friends with many of those people. Many are dead now, but we have made friends with about 50 that we kept track of all our lives. We would have done anything in the world for any of them. We still will do it.
Good. Good.
And I'm proud of what we did. Now, I've got to talk about atrocities. When we landed, there was a big question. What are we going to do with prisoners? We had no place to put them. Some commanders said, kill them all. My company commander said, we're not going to do that. Some commanders just ignored it, and some commanders went along and did it with the others. The Germans did it too. In all wars, you have that. The only problem is history books sanitize it. The enemy did it, we didn't do it. I'm not for that. I think you should save both sides. Now, when things happened, and some was really bad, that stuff went around the battlefield so fast you wouldn't believe it. And what do you think happens to the next bunch of prisoners?
Right. Sure.
Now, I'm also going to say, and people said, you know, that's horrible. You people did stuff like that. I will not apologize for what happened. People have to understand, if you were not there, you have no right to criticize what happened.
Right.
Unless you've lived through it. Do I feel guilt about any of it? No. Were there things I would do different? Yes. Looking back on it today. But at the time, all of those things seemed quite normal. Now, I've been asked, how about, do you have stress now? Dreams? No. I've never had a dream. I've never had any stress whatsoever. Say, well, does it bother you to talk about it? No, I'm not in there. When you're in, it's horrible. When you're out, it's over. Forget it. If you can't do that, you don't belong in that kind of a unit. That kind of a unit attracts people that don't have serious emotional problems. That's just the way it is. And all units today, all your special ops, they are that type of people. He's one of them. He won't tell you about it, but he's been in many of them. He's just too damn nice a guy to tell you about it. He's done more than I ever think of doing.
Yeah. We're talking with Jim Pee Wee Martin, World War II veteran, airborne, and Dale Dye, who you recognize from Band of Brothers. And Pee Wee, you were talking about education, and that's really what's brought both of you here to the show, and that is to hopefully educate future generations not only about what happened in D-Day, but to really kind of emphasize the way the country came together during World War II.
Yeah, and it's really what Pee Wee had to say. I mean, look, this guy speaks for all of us, and I wish we all spoke as eloquently as he did. But it's one of these things. You know, Pee Wee was talking about getting to know people. Our youngsters are so damn isolated these days. I mean, look, I'm for the draft. Bring it back. Haul your butt in there and get to know these guys that you otherwise would never get to meet. And a lot of the problems, the segregation problems and various, and I mean not necessarily color segregation, but just I'm from here, you're not sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Those all go away when you have that common denominator.
Right.
And that's really what we're pushing for in these educational efforts. We're looking for that common denominator. And frankly, one of the finest examples of it are guys like Pee Wee and That's All Brother, that C-47 that we're rebuilding over there. That's really introducing America to its heritage. That's education. That's what it's about, and that's what's required.
Right. And you mentioned That's All Brother. The C-47 has been purchased by the Commemorative Air Force and will be restored and become an educational tool to take to schools and air shows and things, similar events like this, to really emphasize the lessons of World War II and things we can learn from those lessons that we can apply today.
That's right, Steve. And it's really an innovative concept. you know, everybody goes to museums, or hopefully everybody goes to museums, and you look at an airplane, and there it is, and it stands, you know, it's 4 or 5 feet away from you, and you can maybe walk up and touch it. That's not going to get kids who've grown up on video games involved. So our thought, especially with That's All Brother and the Commemorative Air Force, is give them that visceral experience. You know, let them be inside that where Pee-wee was. Pee-wee's complaining the other day about they've got seatbelts in the thing. He didn't have any seatbelts when he was jumping it.
Right.
But give them that experience. You know, make it interactive. Make it something that they can experience. Make it more like a video game. And whatever works is what we're after, and that's what the Commemorative Air Force is doing.
Well, and also you're missing a big point. You are one of those educators.
Right.
Yeah.
You meet a great mass of people that we can't meet. So you're the guy that's going to carry a lot of the history on. People will be recording that, and they'll be listening to it long after I'm gone.
Good.
So you got to be proud of your part, too.
Well, thank you, sir. And we are happy to do our part. And we are completely out of time this morning, but it was an absolute pleasure to have both of you here. We'll see you throughout the day.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, thank you. And this is From the Stand, made possible by the Commemorative Air Force. And from the stand, I'm Steve Buss, and you're listening to EIA Radio.